fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Join us now for the Bible Institute of the Air. Welcome to another broadcast of the Bible Institute of the Air, coming to you from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Today we present another in our continuing series of studies from the book of Proverbs. Our teacher today is Mr. Jesse Boyd, who until the time he went to be with his Lord, served as a member of the Bible faculty at Bob Jones University.
Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, and we're going to consider today verses 22 to 28. That's Proverbs, chapter 14, verses 22 to 28. And while you find your place, let me call your attention again to the fact that the 14th chapter of Proverbs is part of the central section of this book, which began in chapter 10 and verse 1 and concludes in chapter 22. And verse 16. This is a collection of proverbs in the accepted sense of the term, pithy sayings which express wise rules of conduct, warnings, lessons drawn from experience, and moral reflections. These are entitled the Proverbs of Solomon, and for the most part they are unconnected sentences without systematic order or logical sequence. They are, however, remarkable for profound thought and acute observation, expressed in an antithetical or illustrative form, the whole comprising a divine system of morals of universal application, a treasury of wisdom in all its diversified details, both personal, domestic, social, and civil. Now, in the passage that we have today, seven verses, there are six proverbs. And I want us to begin now in verse 22, and we read, "Do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good." The question, "Do they not err," is a rhetorical question, and it's an emphatic way of saying that they most certainly do go astray. Who? They that devise evil. That is, those who scheme and plan ways in which to do evil, ways in which to commit moral evil, ways in which to commit mischief and malice toward one's fellow man. Now, they err. They go astray. Most certainly they do, regardless of our philosophy of relativity today and situational ethics today. People go astray. There's an absolute standard of righteousness for our conduct one with another, and those who devise plans and ways to do evil morally and to one's fellow man goes astray. But now, in this same proverb, we read, "Mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good." Just like those that devise evil go astray, those who plan ways to perform good things, both moral goodness and beneficence toward one's fellow person, the Word of God says, "Mercy and truth shall be to them." The word mercy here means covenant loyalty. And of course, this has reference to God's covenant with the nation Israel and to the people whom he called to be his own people. He entered into covenant with them, and when they act one toward another as God would have them to act, then his covenant loyalty will be exercised toward them, and he will deal with them according to the truth of Scripture. So it is with those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we walk in the pathway of goodness, devise ways in which we may do good to others and live a life that will honor the Lord by moral goodness, then we'll know the blessedness of God's covenant loyalty to us, and he will act toward us according to the truth of the Word of God. So this proverb has a reference to strategy, both evil strategy and good strategy. In verse 23, we read, "In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury." And this is a proverb regarding profit or benefit. The word labor here is the word for toil. And, of course, this speaks of work that carries with it pain and sorrow. Man, when he was created, was given work to do in the Garden of Eden. But that work was to be pleasant, and it was to be productive. But when man sinned by disobeying God's command with regards the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God pronounced a curse upon man by saying that the soil would yield forth not fruit and vegetation that is good for us from our labor, but would yield thorns and thistles and briars and weeds. And he said to man that by the sweat of one's face, one would eat his bread. So labor or work then became toil with sorrow added to it. And God has devised that fallen man engage in that kind of labor. Now, when men pursue this purpose of God in laboring, then there is profit, there is benefit. But if the person who engages in idle chatter when he should be working, then this tendeth to penury. He becomes poor, and he becomes needy. So God has devised that we engage in toil for that which is to sustain us in this world. And this is profitable. In verse 24, there is a proverb regarding foolishness. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. Now, the word crown here refers to an ornament. It's an ornament by which a person is adorned and honored. It's a reward for achievement. And it says here that the crown of the wise is their riches. That is, when the wise are wealthy, they use their riches in a manner which brings them honor. And when a wise man so uses his riches, the result is he is adorned by the use of his riches. However, the foolishness of fools is folly. When fools have riches, their use of it reveals their folly. A fool's acts are characterized by folly, and his foolishness will be rewarded with folly. I've known men who have inherited great riches, who in just a short time have actually foolishly used that wealth until it revealed their own folly, and they were rewarded with folly as they lost their inheritance by just foolish use. But when a wise man is wealthy and uses that wealth in a manner that bespeaks of his wisdom, then it becomes an ornament to him. He is honored by the use of his wealth. And then, verse 25, there's a proverb regarding testimony. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Now, a true witness is a person who takes the witness stand and tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he's a person who delivers souls. That is, he clears the innocent from false charges when he gives his testimony in court. However, a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Now, a deceitful witness is a false witness. He's the one who breathes forth lies. He's like his father, the devil, who is a liar and the father of it. And thus he causes a miscarriage of justice in the courts. And so here is a proverb, then. It gives us the result of true and false witnessing within the courts of our land. Then in verses 26 and 27, There's a proverb regarding piety. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. The word fear of the Lord simply means a proper attitude of reverence toward the Lord. One who fears the Lord will reverence him and maintain an attitude toward him of reverence. Now, it says in verse 26, two things about the person who fears the Lord. He will have strong confidence. He will have assurance. Why? Because he's acting properly toward God, and God then fills his heart with assurance concerning his relationship with the Lord. And his children shall have a place of refuge. His children shall be kept and shall be preserved and defended in a time of adversity. This reminds us of the second commandment, which says, Thou shalt not make unto thee an engraven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy to thousands of those that love me and keep my commandments. Now, you see, the person who fears the Lord will keep his commandments. This gives strong confidence, and it provides the children with a place of protection, a refuge in the time of trouble. In verse 27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And this is almost exactly like chapter 13 and verse 14, which says, The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Now, the fear of the Lord, then, will cause one to act wisely with reference to God's instruction. And the result will be he enjoys the fountain of life. Life is produced and sustained in him, and he is then enabled also to depart from the snares of death. He's kept from being ensnared by death. And then in verse 28, there's a proverb regarding royalty. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. And this is a proverb of contrast of the glory of royalty and the ruin of royalty. Now, the glory of royalty is a multitude of obedient subjects. They bow in obedience to him, they love their king, and they defend him. But the ruin of royalty is the want of obedient subjects. They rise in rebellion against him, or else they are taken by an enemy, and he's left without the protection of his subjects. And so here, a proverb regarding royalty. These proverbs that we've considered today are proverbs that deal with practical things in life, and it would be to our advantage if we would order our lives accordingly.
You've been listening to another lesson in our continuing studies from the book of Proverbs on the Bible Institute of the Air. Today's study was by Mr. Jesse Boyd, who served as a member of the Bible faculty of Bob Jones University. We trust that the timeless truths taught in these studies, recorded by Mr. Boyd during his earthly ministry, will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. Join us again next time for more helpful studies on the Bible Institute of the Air. This program is a production of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.